Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's bow our heads and hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day. Thank you for that beautiful sunshine we're seeing outside. And we thank you for the moisture that you have blessed the earth with. But above all, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together to meet with you. Meet now with us, Father, Son, and Spirit. Fill us, equip us. May our worship be in spirit and in truth. May it glorify Jesus Christ. And may the consequence of our time with you be that we become ever more like you. We ask these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is found in the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the second epistle, chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in the Pew Bible is page 731. Let us hear God's inerrant word. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word to the Apostles' Creed, page 845 in the back of your hymnals. Let us confess the faith that God has revealed to us in his word by means of this summary. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our scripture text this morning is found in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 66. And we're going to be looking at 14 through 17, but I want us to back up and read from 12 on. So we'll start with verse 12, even though our text begins with verse 14. Thus says Yahweh, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of Yahweh shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by the sword Yahweh will judge all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, says Yahweh. May God add His own blessing to the reading of His word. Let's go together before Him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give You thanks again for the Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together. Speak to us as You already have. Grant to us that we may hear if we have not before. Prepare us that we may come to this table where we proclaim together and individually who Jesus is and what He's done for us. As we receive also grace from You through this means of grace, prepare us intellectually and spiritually, emotionally, to come and worship and to live for Christ. And now, Father, again we pray, let us hear You speak to us this morning from Your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we backed up a little bit in verses 12 and 13 for this reason. In some sense, these are two separate sections. They actually can be divided with 12, 13, and 14, and then the last line of verse 14, 15, 16, and 17. You can deal with it a whole, you can deal with it two, or you can also deal with it with 12 and 13 separated from 14. We're doing the latter, and yet in some sense it's hard to divide a section. In 12 and 13 and the first part of verse 14, the bulk of verse 14, is one speaking of God's blessings to His people. And it seems to be directed, firstly, to that generation which was there when the Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth and when all the old covenant promises came to their fruition. Think of Anna and Simeon and their rejoicing. And those who 30-some years later saw and heard our Lord as He ministered. But it also pertains to us as well, because the blessing of the peace is extended to all of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not have been alive when He was on earth. We may not be of that generation. And of course, since we're almost all, if not all, of Gentile extraction, even if we're alive then, we probably wouldn't have been anywhere close to Palestine. Nevertheless, those blessings extend to us as well. But the warnings also extend to our generation. It is interesting that the blessings in 12 and 13 and 14 go hand in glove with the cursing of 14, 15, 16, and 17. I think we should notice then, let's zoom in on verse 15 for a moment. We don't have a lot of time left. Behold, the Lord will come with fire and with His chariots like a whirlwind, to render His anger with fury and His rebuke with flames of fire. Does that remind you of any story in the Old Testament? And it came to pass, when Yahweh was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elisha said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me on to Bethel." And Elisha said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me on to Jericho." And he said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me on to the Jordan." And he said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Isaiah is writing centuries later, and he uses the same imagery, the whirlwind, the chariots of fire. Here it is the taking of Elijah, not in judgment, but in blessing. He goes into the presence of Yahweh without going through the valley of the shadow of death. But those same words are used here in chapter 66 of Isaiah in verse 15, in judgment. Look again, Yahweh will come with fire, with his chariots, like a whirlwind. Because judgment and blessing are linked. They both come from the hand of Yahweh. And they come depending on how we have reacted to his call. Remember earlier in this chapter, verse 4, he brings judgment because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. In verse 17, we have a description of how they refused to hear. And it's interesting the language. They have sanctified themselves. They have made themselves pure and holy to worship false gods, to eat swine flesh. Some of my children cannot stand ham. But it's not for religious purposes. They just don't like ham. I cannot understand how anyone cannot like bacon, but that's another story. But it was prohibited. It's a matter of not does it taste good, nor is it a matter of can you pick up some really nasty diseases. It's a matter of do you love God and will you obey Him? Hence the reading of the swine's flesh, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse. Another translation has rats. Now that may gross you out. Eating mice and rats grosses me out too. Hamsters may be different. But the point, of course, is all of these are prohibited things. And the test is not, is it gross to eat? Or does it taste good? The test is, do you love Yahweh? And here are extremely religious people who are in covenant with Yahweh who have sanctified themselves to disobey Him. That is just two opposite concepts. It just doesn't, it's more than water and oil. I'll extend peace like a river or indignation to my enemies. I will comfort you in Jerusalem, or I'll rebuke with flames of fire. God, the thrice holy God, as is revealed in Isaiah, is so holy He will not look upon sin. And yet He looks upon you and me, and not with judgment, but with comfort. When we deserve, we work for and have earned that judgment. And that's because of this table, brothers and sisters. Because all the sins that I've committed and all the wrath of God that I deserve and that you deserved fall upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For He chose to sacrifice himself in our place for his elect. And he calls us, as this chapter, this section calls us, as the section we read in 2 Corinthians calls us. Look at that again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Not actually 6, but chapter 7. So many times in the fundamentalist school that Jan and I went to in the church, we heard chapter 6 a lot, but they always ignored verse 1 of chapter 7. Therefore, because of the stuff that went ahead, therefore, having these promises, what promises? I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters. Because of these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. That's what the judgment is in verse 17. They cleanse themselves so that they could abominate themselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because what happens in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17 here in Isaiah 66 is they did not perfect themselves in holiness for Yahweh. They perfected themselves in holiness against Yahweh. They totally separated themselves from Him. Earlier in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, it says, come out and be separate. God calls upon His people to come out and be separate. In verse 17, they've come out and been separate from Yahweh, from Him, and from His true people. Brothers and sisters, we are called to come out and separate ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ, not from Him. And to separate ourselves to Him is to separate ourselves from the filthiness of our flesh and of spirit, to perfect holiness, to receive the chariots of fire and the whirlwind, not in judgment as in verse 15, but in salvation. Christ has come to deliver us from the judgment by receiving it upon Himself. Do you want to know how holy God is? Do you want to know how corrupt we are? Look at the cross. You and I belong there for eternity. Christ chose to take our spot, our place, our sin, because He loves us. Let's bow our heads before Him. Father, we give You thanks for Your love for us in sending Your Son. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, for Your love for us in being willing, indeed eager, to come and take our place. There was a joy set before You, and I cannot fathom how I could be that joy, or my brothers and sisters, but it was Your joy to have us as Your precious treasure. We ask, Spirit of the living God, that You would assist us to purify ourselves of all the corruption of flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness because of the promises we have received from Father, Son, and Spirit. The sacrifice of our Savior for us, for our salvation comes from God's judgment on His Son in our place. Let us rejoice. Help us to rejoice in those chariots of fire that fell upon Him instead of us, and thereby to live for Him for forever. In His name we pray. Amen. In Matthew's Gospel, we read, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper as an ordinance to be observed by His church until He comes again. It is not a re-sacrificing of Christ, but is a remembrance of the once-for-all sacrifice of Himself in His death for our sins. Nor is it a mere memorial of Christ's sacrifice. It is a means of grace by which God feeds us with the crucified, resurrected, exalted Christ. He does so by His Holy Spirit and through faith. Thus, He strengthens us in our warfare against sin and in our endeavors to serve Him in holiness. The sacrament further signifies and seals the forgiveness of our sin and our nourishment and growth in Christ. The bread and wine represent the crucified body and the shed blood of the Savior, which He gave for His people. In this sacrament, God confirms that He is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of His covenant, and He calls us to deeper gratitude for our salvation, to renewed consecration, and to a more faithful obedience. The supper is also a bond and pledge of the communion that believers have with Him and with each other as members of His body. As Scripture says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." The supper anticipates the consummation of the ages, when Christ returns to gather all His redeemed people at the glorious wedding feast of the Lamb. As we come to the Lord's table, we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify the sin that is within us, to resist the devil, and to follow Christ as becomes those who bear His name. It is my privilege as a minister of Christ to invite all who are right with God and His church through faith in the Lord Jesus to come to the Lord's table. If you have received Christ and are resting upon Him alone for salvation, as He's offered to you in the gospel, if you are a baptized and professing communicant member in good standing in a church that professes the gospel of God's free grace in Jesus Christ, if you live penitently and seek to walk in godliness before the Lord, then this supper is for you. And I invite you in Christ's name to eat the bread and drink the cup. At the same time, God's word says, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." If you are not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are not a member of a faithful Christian church, if you are not living penitently and seeking to walk in godliness before the Lord, I warn you in the name of Christ not to approach the holy table of the Lord. This warning is not aimed at the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord. It is aimed to keep them from there, as if it were for those who were free from sin. In fact, it is for sinners that our Lord gives His supper as a means of grace. Through the elements of bread and wine, our Lord graciously gives Himself and all His benefits to everyone who eats and drinks in a worthy manner, discerning the body of the Lord. It is one thing to eat and drink in a worthy manner. It is very different, however, to imagine that we are worthy to eat and drink. We dare not come to the Lord's table as if we were worthy and righteous in ourselves. We come in a worthy manner if we recognize that we are unworthy sinners who need our Savior. If we consciously discern His body given for our sins. If we hunger and thirst after Christ, giving thanks for His grace, trusting in His merits, feeding on Him by faith, renewing our covenant with Him and with His people. So let us examine our minds and our hearts to determine whether that discernment is ours, to the end that we may partake to the glory of Christ and to our growth in the grace of Christ. And then come with joy and thankfulness to the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper is medicine for poor, sick sinners. Come to Jesus and find rest, refreshing, and nourishment for your weak and weary soul. Let's bow our heads and hearts before Him. Our Father and our God, we give You thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for this table. And now we ask that your Spirit would help us to be prepared to come as individually we consider and pray and examine ourselves. Our Father, we give you thanks for the bread, which is the sign and seal of the body of Jesus Christ broken for us. Bless it to us. Glorify Christ in us. Feed us with the Lord Jesus. And may we become like Him, we pray. In His name, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "This is, take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, as we come to the cup, the sign and seal of the blood of Christ, which was sacrificed for us, His blood spilled that we might be washed and made clean, that crimson flood would wash away the crimson scarlet sins and make us white as snow. Feed us, not merely on the quantity of physical nourishment, feed us on the Lord Jesus Christ. May we grow in grace to be like Him, we pray. Amen. In the same manner, our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, He gave it to His disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Father, again, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the salvation we have, full and free for us, because He paid the price. Help us to live with Him, to walk with Him, to live for Him. May He be glorified in us, individually and corporately, we pray. In His precious name, amen.